Scriptures to Live By.
Our text, you know, all the manna texts are really scriptures to live by. And it was suggested that we could consider the manna text such for our discussion. And so I thought the text for today was a very good text. If the light that is in thee become darkness, how great is the darkness? Matthew 6:22-23. Now let us contrast light with darkness. John tells us in 1 John 5:7 that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It would be safe to conclude that to the extent that any let the light flicker in their relationship with God, their fellowship to that extent will be interrupted. In other words, the basis of true fellowship is if you fellowship with the Father and I fellowship with the Father, then we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's walking in the light. That's being filled with the light. Now, as far as darkness is concerned, in Ephesians 5:8, we are told, if ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children in the light. And this seems to indicate that the time past of our life was sufficient for darkness. We all walked in the darkness at one time, but now we are in the light. And so we shouldn't look back and have cravings for the darkness, for the experiences of the darkness. Also, there is a deception. Our mother Eve was deceived. She was beguiled. What did she want? Did she want darkness? Oh, no, no, no. She wanted light. She wanted more light, better light. And she felt that God was withholding from her worlds of light. And so she took a course that she was not supposed to take. And yes, the devil promised her knowledge, which she thought would be this world of light. But she got knowledge all right, but an awful disappointment came with it. She got knowledge, but it was the knowledge of sin. And what did she get? She got shame. She got guilt. She got fear. She got sadness. And finally, she got death. But she had been promised life. But she got a different form of light. It was the knowledge of sin. And it had made her also a sinner. Now, our theme text is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You know, the eye is the most sensitive part of the body. And probably, I mean, if we had a choice as to what part of our bodily functions we would want to preserve at all costs, I think most of us would say the eye. We get so much blessing and information through the eye. The eye functions by its ability to transfer light images through the optic nerve through the brain. And so the eye is the means of transmitting light to the brain, to the optic nerve, which gets to the brain. And so we see with our minds, but the light, it comes through the eye. Now, let a dust particle get in our eye, and we will almost stop anything we are doing. It's such a sensitive part of our body, isn't it? No matter what we're doing, if we get something in our eye, we pay very serious attention to that, don't we? We don't ignore it. We can't ignore it. The eye is so sensitive. And sometimes we even call for help. We'll say, you know, I can't find anything in my eye. If you could look in it, maybe you could spot that particle and maybe with a little swab get it out. Sometimes we admit that we're having trouble with our eye and we have to get the obstacle out. Well, this reminds me of Brother Barton, who was known for getting very practical discourses. He would not address the problems of one class over here in another class, but if he thought there was medicine needed in a certain class, he would give a medicine talk to that class. Well, he did this in one of the classes, and after his discourse, a brother came straight up to him, and he thought, well, maybe he offended this brother. But no, brother thanked him, and he said, oh, dear brother, he says, that was a wonderful talk. There's a sister in this class that needs it. And so Brother Barton says, he showed his disappointment. He says, perhaps I should give it again for your benefit. And so I think sometimes we're that way. Jesus suggested that. He said that, before we can take the speck out of our brother's eye, we should first try to get the beam out of our own eye. Well, you know, a beam is pretty big. Our eye is small. It's exaggerated language. But we realize that that's part of our nature. We can see the fault of others, but we are sometimes not able to see the fault in ourselves. And the poet, what did he say? Was it Robert Burns? Oh, that someone would the gift he give us to see ourselves as others see us. And so we need to get help along this line. I'll speed along here. Jesus said, if the light that is in thee become darkness. He asked the question, how great is that darkness? Now, most of us would find it difficult to believe that we could be having spots of darkness instead of light in our relationship with the Lord. Matthew 6:23 we read, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. So darkness really starts with little bits of evil. We must be careful of the little roots of evil. Whether it's evil surmising or evil thinking or anything of that nature, we must be very careful, because evil is the thing that will bring on darkness. Now, also in the natural eye, there's what we call cataracts. And that's a gradual darkening of the eye. Now, of course, we know spiritually, as we grow older, we should have even keener vision. But in the natural realm, I think it does illustrate what happens, not with relationship to age, but when the evil begins to spread in the eye, it opaques the vision. The cataract opaques the vision. And I remember a brother that had a cataract operation, and, you know, they take out the cloudy lens and they put in an artificial clear lens. And this brother said, you know, I was driving down a familiar street, and he said, I thought I was on the wrong street because it was so bright and it was so different. And so that's what happens sometimes when we get a little bit of darkness in the lens, a little bit of clouding of the lens. And the Lord has a fix for that too. We don't need to go for surgery, but the eye can be cleansed through prayer and through proper meditation and thoughts upon the Lord. Now, Jesus also said in this connection, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Earthly treasures, whether material or ethereal, such as a good name among men, desire for recognition, self-seeking or self-defending, or unwillingness to lose our life for Christ's sake, any of these things could affect the light of the eye. These are a part of the sources of sin that can come in and bring an opaqueness to the eye. So we must be careful, really earnest and sincere in our relationship with the Lord, to keep evil from spreading or developing or even finding a lodging in our eye, because then it will bring darkness to us. And once the darkness starts, The question is, where will it stop? How great will be that darkness? The secret is, don't let it start. Don't let it take root. Ferret it out. Deal with it daily, every day, and try to keep our hearts pure and earnest before the Lord. Because, you know, the answer is very hard to determine. Jesus asked it, and it's a soul-searching question. How great will be the darkness once we let it start to grow? May the Lord add his blessing.